God is just so wonderful. He's so kind, so merciful. Come on, give the praise team. Singing about the heart of the Father. You know, there's something about the heart of a father and a mother, but the heart of the Father is always for his children. Amen? No matter what, even when we act up, all right? Even when we act up, God's heart is still for us because he knows we're still in the process of being made whole. We're still in the process of being sanctified and delivered from our own foolishness sometimes. So God allows us. That's right. I mean, if we want to be honest with ourselves, you know, sometimes it's our own foolishness that gets us into places that we shouldn't be, you know. But we thank God that he's always there. He's always guiding. He's always directing. He's always speaking to our heart. He's always drawing us back closer to him. Amen? No matter what, and, you know, thank God for Jesus, because what Jesus did on that cross could never disqualify us in the eyes of the Father. Amen? And that's what you have to remember, that you are qualified because of what Jesus did, not because of you, not because of how cute you think you are. All right? Come on, you can all smile about that. Come on, man, loosen up a little bit. But it's the Father's love, man, because that's what we sing about, the great love. And sometimes we don't understand how great God's love is for us. You know, sometimes, you know, our love for one another, our love for our families, love for our children, love for our spouses, love for people, it runs out because people make you tight, all right? But even when we make God tight, his love never runs out. It's inexhaustible, you know? And so we have to learn that if I'm going to be close to the Father, that we have to understand that if I'm creating in his image, I'm creating in his likeness, that there should be a love inside of me that never, ever runs out. Regardless of what people say to me, no matter how people treat me, no matter what happens in this life, that my love should never run out, ever run out. So that lets you know where you're at. Because when you're in the flesh, it's going to run out. But when you're in the spirit, it ain't going to run out, all right? That's why Paul says, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Them strong cravings, you know? When somebody cuts you off, you know, and you just want to say, praise the Lord. You know that ain't true, all right? I'm just saying, all right? There's one way, and then there's another way. But once you got the heart of God in you, you know, you just say, go ahead, go ahead. If you're in that much of a hurry, just go ahead. You know, I just thank God for this time. I thank God for the season. I thank God for where we at. You know, I love the Christmas season because it always reminds us of what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, what he sent into the earth. He sent the change. You know what I mean? And when you think about Christmas and this new year that we're in, 2020, you know, it's another decade, you know, just don't look at the year. You're in a totally different decade. You know what I mean? So what you didn't do back then, as I was saying earlier, forget it. It's over with, all right? You know, lost that time and everything else, but that doesn't mean that you still can't do great things, like you said, because our God is great, all right? Listen to what he told Abraham. He said, I'm going to make your name great, all right? Prophecy, he told it, I'm going to make your name great, all right, in all the earth. And through you, he said, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing unto other people. And through you, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. That prophecy had Jesus Christ in it. See, greatness, the great creator, the great savior, the greatness, all right? And I'm created. A lot of times we don't look at ourselves as the Bible talks to us about. Because if I'm created in that image and I'm created in that likeness, guess what? There is greatness in me, whether you affirm me or not. See, we live in a world where we want to be affirmed. Because that makes us feel good. That's just the outside part of us. When somebody says something nice about, oh, look at your hair. All right, look at your clothes. Look at your car. Look at this, you know. And especially men. All right? Ladies, let me help you out. You want him to clean the house, just tell him how good he looks. And all that. And then he starts swelling like this. Yeah, baby, what? That's a man thing. All right? Men, we like to be affirmed. All right? Right, baby? But we have to understand that in the eyes of God, greatness is always in us because of what he created us to be. We just got to line up with what God is saying. And my prayer this year is I hope that, you know what I mean, as, you know, the year go on, how you do it, whether you're driving and you're listening to it, or you really get to a point, you put some discipline in your life this year that I'm going to really read the word of God to get greater understanding and have God speak to my heart, because that's how God's going to speak to you. I mean, I'm going to speak to you, but privately, what you do in public is going to strengthen, what you do in private is going to strengthen what you do in the public. The more time you spend with God in private, it's going to be an expression in public of who you've been spending time with. Because just look at your life. That's why your parents said, I don't think you should be hanging out with them. Because they understood the wisdom of parenting. They understood that that right there is going to make you act in a way that I did not teach you. That's why when Adam said, when God said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, we heard you walking in the garden. He said, we were naked. God knew at that point, he said, who you been talking to? Who told you that? But God never told him that, all right? Because God had him covered regardless. And remember, you serve a God who is omniscient, all right? That's a characteristic of God, omniscience, which means he has perfect knowledge of human history and human life, perfect knowledge, all right? Your mama might not know some stuff about you, all right? Or your daddy might not know some stuff about you, but God knows it all. All right, so go. You can fake mama out, daddy out, you can fake me out, but you can't fake God out. All right, and so that is the one that we need to draw closer to each and every day. So my prayer is this year that, you know, go through the Gospels. You know, I'm going to be reading from Luke 15 about the prodigal son and everything, and see how Jesus dealt with people. When he told his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, Jesus took them into encounter with all types of situations and circumstances, all type of sin, all types of other thing else to teach them, this is how you handle that situation, this is how you handle that circumstance, all right? And so if we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to understand that we're going to be dealing with sinful people, because we used to be sinful. That's right, all of you had the cooties, all right, everybody, because we're all born in sin, and that's why Jesus came. The book of Matthew, when the angel showed up and told Joseph, he said, listen, you're going to call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. He's going to save them from missing the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark of what God created us to be, all right? But in the church or in the world, we like to point this, point that, do that. Well, I ain't like him, I ain't like that. Thinking that you got it up on them. No, you don't. Sin is sin. I don't care if you're stealing pencils or cutting heads off. It's all the same in God's eyes. It's all the same in God's eyes. But God got a fixer, and his name is Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can be free from the power of it, from the presence of it, and everything else. All right? From the penalty and the power. Let me back up. Penalty and the power. When Jesus comes back, then we'll be out the very presence of sin. All right? But the penalty of sin no longer attaches itself to you. The power of sin should no longer attach itself to you, because now you know who you are. Why? Because greater is he that is in you is greater than the temptations or anything else that's coming against you. And that's what you got to realize. See, my prayer is that you become more God conscious than you become sin conscious. All right? Become more God conscious and you ain't got to worry about the sin. Once you realize what God has done through Jesus Christ on that cross, then that stuff can no longer attach itself to you unless you willingly want to participate. Huh? Willful sin. That means it's your will, an act of your will to participate in it. All right? God's never going to violate your free will to choose. As you read this word and understand who God's is, and understand God's pattern, you understand who God's principles is, you understand who God is, then it's an act of your choice, and it's an act of your will whether you participate in it or not. Amen? All right, so you can't blame somebody else. David said in Psalms 51 when he had that thing with Bathsheba and killing her husband, the whole thing, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. And if you read them whole 19 verses, in Psalms 51, I call it the me and my prayer. David talked about me, my, all right, here's a king who has horses, chariots, gold, silver, and everything else. He ain't talking about nothing else except for getting it right with God. Them whole 19 verses, he ain't talking about the kingdom. He ain't talking about the gold, the silver. All he's talking about, I want to get right with you, God. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit in me, because David knew for me to do what I did, my heart is messed up and the wrong spirit is in me. And it ain't your spirit. And that's an opportunity for every born-again believer, all right? Jesus won it on the cross for you. It's up to you to take it up and walk it out. Amen? Let us just pray. Father, I thank you again for another opportunity to speak your word, oh God. I pray that through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, dear God, you just use me for your glory and for your honor. Hide me behind the cross, oh God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, that they may see all of you and none of me. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk about a God of a second chances. All right? I was asked to speak at something like TLC, a recovery thing. And the sister asked me, because I know your life, and I want you to use your life, which I always do anyway, and to speak to people about second chances. All right? Because sometimes we do stuff, and we think that it disqualifies us for even calling ourselves Christians or calling ourselves to be connected with God. But that's not the truth, right? Like I said, God's omniscient. God knew everything that you're going to do, everything you did, and everything that you were going to do before you said yes to Jesus. It might mess with you. It don't mess with him. Because he knew the power of sin. That's why he told Adam, do not mess with that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Number one, you weren't going to be able to handle good, and you definitely wasn't going to be able to handle the evil. That's why he told them, all right? Because he knew the effects of what sin does in a person's life. Sin is destructive, all right? And if you don't believe it, look at the cross. Sin was destructive. We always talk about Jesus, the God of love and everything, and don't understand that God is a God of judgment as well. He judged every sin in this earth at that cross with Jesus Christ. Jesus got what we deserved. So that's why we sing these songs about Jesus and how much we love him, how much we're supposed to breathe back to him. We're not just saying that because we want you. We want you to understand what Jesus has done for your life. Because once you understand what he has done for your life, then you get a perspective on how you're going to live your life. Whether I'm going to live for me or whether I'm going to live all right for him, who paid it all for me. And that's a decision that all of us have to make, from the babies on up to the elders. Senior citizen. And I'm a senior citizen. Almost. I think 65 makes it the official, right? But anyway, in this 15th chapter, okay, of Luke, we all heard the story about the prodigal son. Well, the deal of it is here, all right, and it starts out in verse 1. One thing about as you read the Gospels, like I was saying, I hope you read the Gospels, because you'll get an understanding of Jesus. Jesus was the master teacher. Jesus would take anything, whether it was animals, agriculture, or whatever, and turn it into a spiritual lesson to make you understand who he was, where he came from, and always pointed to the Father. Everything Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. All right? So this message here is about the heart of the Father, because that's what we were singing about, right? The heart of the Father, because you have to know what is in the heart of the Father for you. And once you know what's in the heart of the Father for you, your life should align into that. So I line up with what God has for me. But in verse 1, it says, then all the tax collectors and sinners draw near to him to hear him, speaking of Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spoke this to them, saying, spoke this to them. He wasn't speaking to the people because they drew near to Jesus. He was talking to the Pharisees that had a problem. All right? So therefore, you got to remember, the church is like a hospital. Everybody in here is sick. All right? When you go to the hospital to visit people, why? Because they're sick. From the first floor to the 15th floor. If there's 15th floor, everybody in the whole place is sick. Except for those who are ministering healing. And that's what Jesus is, the healer. Because that's what this story is about. It's about a story about forgiveness, about healing, redemption, and restoration. God's a restorer. God restores lives. All right? As a shepherd, Jesus is a shepherd. David penned the 23rd Psalm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. He restores my soul. All right? God comes to bring restoration in your life. Jesus don't come to take all the fun out of your life. All right? I become a Christian and all the fun is out of my life. You can't have no fun no more. And as I said earlier, ain't no fun. You've been drinking Hennessy all night and now you hugging that little thing. All right? Ain't no fun in that. Been there, done that one too. Ain't no fun in that. Because we didn't have the knowledge to understand, I'm killing myself. All right? You have to understand. The enemy, you remember, you had an enemy of your soul. And there's a payday. Romans 6, 23 said that the wages of sin is death. Death, spiritual death, financial death, death of health, death of mind. All right? Not just the physical death. There's a whole lot of compartments of you just in you just dying, flatlining. There's a lot of other things that's going to die in you. All right? That's worth the death, especially if you're a believer. All right? Because we're going to raise the roof at 3 o'clock in this place. All right? We had somebody that left us, but we're going to tear it up in here come 3 o'clock. I can guarantee that. But there's things inside of us that die because of sin. And you have to understand that. Why? Because sin separates us from the Father. And in this thing about the prodigal son, his pride and his impatience about waiting for what his father had for him put him in a position because of that. And it happens to all of us. When we're not willing to wait for God and we get impatient or sin just wanting to do our own thing, we move ourselves out of the provision and the covering of God. And that's what the enemy does. He lures us out. Listen, the grass is not greener on the other side. It's just cut different. Grass is grass. But see, sheep nibble, all right? Sheep nibble. Nibble here, a little nibble there, a little nibble there. And then all of a sudden they look up, and where's the shepherd? And that's what we do. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. We start getting desensitized to what sin is. And then, well, that's all right. And then we start compromising. And one of the saddest things I hear is silly that, well, we're living in modern times. Like God's word don't matter anymore. My Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Whatever he said then, whatever he's saying now, whatever, is going to be the same exact thing when it comes to sin. So don't let nobody tell you that. Like 2020 is going to change God's mind. He said, I'm the Lord and I change it not. That's what my Bible says. I don't know what anybody else says. You might have some new translation or something. But this one here ain't that translation. But anyway, it says in this 11th verse, right? It said that there was a certain man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, all right, young people, listen, because pride and arrogance are getting your way to make you say something out of your mouth to your mother and father. They're going to cause some problems. See? All right? See, I grew up in that era. You suck your teeth and roll your eyes. Yeah. Some people know what I'm talking about, right? Your parents say something, you go, your mama hear that? Oh, you want to suck your teeth? It was on after that. All right. But anyway, the younger of him said to his father, Give me the portion of my goods that falls on me. And he divided it to them. The father gave it to both of them. You got to understand that God has provision. God has everything for you. All right? Now, what you do with it, that's totally up to you. Now, the oldest one was smart. All right? He kept his money in the hands of the father. All right? The other dude, the younger dude, all right, he just took off. All right? He said, Now after many days, all right, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far land. Far land represents the world. And there was, and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself, all right, join. Amplified says glued himself. You got to be careful who you attach yourself to, calling yourself a believer. Because everybody you attach you to ain't got the same plan and purpose that God got for you. And the enemy is infamous for bringing people in your life to get you away from the things of God. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what happened here? See, doing your own thing will put you in a place of want. Going your own way will put you in a place of want. No longer listening to your parents, no longer listening to your elders, no longer listening to people who have been speaking into your life is going to put you in want. Because that's part of that sin nature. Because we're going to spend it all, we're going to waste it all, we ain't going to manage it all. All right? Remember, we're supposed to be stewards of what God gives us. Everything that God gives us. Your money, your time, your house, your car, your kids, anything that's connected to you, you're supposed to be a steward of it. And that's only if you do it God's way. Now, if you want to do it your own way, which you can, all right? Because like I said, God's not going to violate your free will to choose whether you're going to do it his way or whether you're going to do it your way. But at least be man and woman to deal with the consequences when you do it your own way. All right? Because that's what this kid had to do. And it said, he joined himself and he said he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods of the swine and ate, but no one gave him anything. See, people are with you as long as things are going right. But soon as all the cash runs out or anything else runs out, they're going to run out too. But God ain't going to run out you. It says, verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He went from want to almost death. When you're perishing, you're dying. You understand what I mean? When you're perishing, see, sin is progressive. Sin is progressive. So he went from want to almost dying. But one thing he remembered. He remembered his father, and he remembered the love of his father. He remembered it was only himself that got him into this place because it said he came to himself. Sometimes you got to come to yourself. Sometimes you got to stop looking around like Jonah on the boat when they're throwing everything. Oh, Jonah told him, stop throwing stuff off the boat. It's me. It's me. Throw me off the boat. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, it's me, because it's so easy, because that's what happened in the garden, the blame game. When God showed up, Adam said, the woman you gave me. And Eve said, no, the serpent. And we're the same way. We want to blame everybody else for our own existence when it was your own choices that got you in the place that you're at. It's tight, but it's right. All right? It's your own thinking that's going to get you either in the place of provision or either in the hog pen. It's your own choices. And like I said, if you're going to go out and make your own choices, then be willing to deal with the situation or circumstances that you line up in or fall into. Because that wasn't the heart of the Father for this kid. All right? But sometimes God does it, he does it with us too. Oh, you think you got it like that? Okay. Here you go. Sometimes you got to let your kids go. Once they get to an age of accountability and they think they know more than you know, and you done changed that little tail when they were sick, brought them back to hell, fed them and everything else, and now all of a sudden you think you know more than me. No, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. If you think you know more than me, and I've been keeping you alive all these years, it's time for you to go. See, the Father was very gracious because that's what we do. We step out of the will of God and want to do our own thing. The Father was very gracious. He said, okay, if that's the way you want it, here we go. You can have it. But like I said, the reason why I know about this is because I had a hog pen. It was downstate correctional. When I woke up, in Downstate Correctional and cried like a baby, not because how bad jail was, of where I have allowed my life to go. I could have went to any college in this nation. My guidance counselor told me, boy, I had 6 credits more than what you were supposed to have back in 1975. He said, you can go to any college you want in the country. But I chose to do it, just like the prodigal. So you have to understand, this speaks to each and every one of us. It's about either choosing God's way or choosing your own way. All right? But I thank God that day when I came to myself, just like it says this guy came to himself, that I had sense enough because I came from a Christian home and everything, all right, that I had sense enough to cry out to God and say, Lord, if you forgive me, whatever path you put my feet on, that's the path I'm going to get on. And that's been 33 years. All right? See, I know about a God of second chances when you open your heart and you move towards God. See, because true repentance ain't, I'm sorry because I got caught. All right? Because you got caught out there. And now your little Christian thing is tarnished. It ain't about that. True repentance is like this kid. First of all, acknowledging, all right, that I've made a mistake. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. All right? And then he arose and came to his father. All right? True repentance is about, I messed up, now I got to get up and go back to God and turn this thing around. That's true repentance. When you know you have violated the will of God, when you know you have violated the word of God, when you know you have violated the principles of God, and you got that sting in there. That's why God put that sting in there. That's why God put that guilt in there. Why? So you don't stay there. That's why you got all these people talking about, don't judge me. I ain't judging you. It's that sting of that sin that's judging you. I'm just telling you about it. God wrote the code in there. That's like DNA. That sting and that shame and all that, that's in that DNA code of sin. And if you call yourself a child of God and you're in that place and it's stinging and you got shame, you need to get up out of that hog pen and come on back to your father. That's what you need to do. Because that's what this kid said. He acknowledged it. And he said, yeah, I'm in the wrong place, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father. He said, how many, he assessed this situation. He said, how many of my father's hired hands had bread enough to eat and bread to spare? And I'm almost dying. Sometimes you got to assess your situation. If you're in want and all that stuff, you're in the wrong place. You need to get up and come back to your father. You need to get up out of that place, get up out of that relationship, get up out of that mess you're in and come back to your father. That's what you need to do. And stop blaming everybody else for your existence. It's the choices that you make. Every day in your life, you get a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, I set before you today the heaven, call the heavens and earth as a witness before you. I place before you life, death, blessings, and curses. And he helps us out and says, therefore choose life that you may live. And not just you, but your descendants behind you. God ain't just worried about you. Sin makes us look at and focus on ourselves. All we can do is see ourselves. God's worried about your kids, your grandkids, and your great-great-grandkids. You ain't just getting it right for you. Get over yourself. This is more than just you. That's what this story is about. The story is about a kid. Sin makes you focus only on yourself. But this story is about redemption. It's about restoration. It's about coming back to the Father and being honest with yourself. And it said that he rose, okay? And this is what he said. He said, all right. He said, I'm going to go to my father. He said, I'm going to say that I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. All right? He's trying to soften the blow here. All right? That's what he's trying to do. He said, he's making up his mind. You ever have a fight or something with somebody, and then you make it up, okay, now we got, when I see them, now if they act like this, you know, this is the way I'm going to act. And then if they act like that, yeah, then I'm going to put this on them, all right? And then If they go too far, then maybe I'll cut them. No, no one cares. But you understand what I mean, right? You are, come on now. Let's be honest with yourself. All right? You done made this thing up in your mind. When I see them, this is the way it's going to go. And that's what this kid was doing. All right? He trying to soften the blow by saying, listen, I'm not even worthy to be your son. Just make me one of the servants. All right? But at least he was smart enough because these were hired servants. That's how we come to God. Conditions and everything else. All right? But look at the heart of the father. All right? He said, and his son said to him, okay, here comes the kid. He said he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the heart of the father. Because you know why? Every day since this kid left, help me, Jesus. Every since the day that kid left, that their father was looking, where's my baby? Where's my child? I know he made a decision. I know she made a decision to do her own thing. But the compassion of the father is, where's my child? What has happened to my child? Day in, day out, where's my child? What has happened to them? It says that when he's seen him, he was watching, whether he was on the porch, in the field, or whatever, it doesn't say. But he noticed that figure. Anybody that has children, you know your child's walk. You know their child, what they look like. You know. It said when he seen him afar off, he went running towards him. He didn't have this big, long list. You, oh, look, you done wasted my money. No, he ran at his child. That's the heart of the father when he sees you coming back. God's going to make a move towards you. You just got to make a move towards him. And he says, the kid gets in there, and he says, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And father did not listen to him. Didn't even peep a word because he knew what was in his heart for this kid. The same way God knows what's in his heart for you. The same way God knew what was in his heart for me. This is personal. Because I was that prodigal. But I received the love, that unconditional love. He said, but the father said to his servants, after he said, I'm no longer called to be your son, he said, bring out the best robe and put it on him, all right? See, this kid came home in rags, and his father not only clothed him, but he adorned him, all right? God always clothes us with his best. This was a festive robe which you wear when it's time to honor, when people come over. Even though he was raggedy and tattered and came home, God said, that's my son. I want to put the best on them. That's what Jesus did. Jesus took off his robe of righteousness and put it on us and took our robe of rags. That's what Jesus Christ did for us because he's a God of second chances. Then he said, then not only put on the robe, he said, put a ring on him. And that ring represents the hand, that when that kid walked before him as a constant reminder of how kind God was to him. Everywhere that kid went, he had a symbol that my father was kind to me. My father was kind to me. When he could have been a different way, he was kind to me. He showed me love, all right? And then the third thing that he did to him is that he put sandals on his feet, the preparation for the gospel of peace. Because see, because God, when he gets us right, the reason why he put on the sandals, because it was going to correct the way that he was walking, all right? The sandals already represent the word. Psalms 119:9 says, how could a young man cleanse his way? By heeding to the word of God. Psalms 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:105. That your word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light unto my path. That's why we're so big on discipleship. That's why we're so big on spiritual gifts. That's why we're so big on training you all in the Word. So that way you take the sandals off of the world and learn to put on the sandals of the Lord, so that you learn to walk in the way that God ordained you to walk, that you walk in the way that Jesus Christ won for you each and every day. There's no need for you to walk the old way. That's why it says, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your walk should be new. Your talk should be new. Your ideas should be new. Your friendship should be new. You need to get rid of all them people in your life that ain't going where you're going. Everybody ain't going where you're going. Everybody ain't got the desire to go where you're going. Everybody ain't got the discipline to go where you're going. So you have to understand that. That's why God changed everything about him. He's saying, I'm unworthy. Father said, no, you're not. I'm going to show you you're not. Even though you had all that sin and mess on your life, I'm going to dress you up, put rings on you, and put new shoes on you, boy. That's who you are. That's who you are, and that's what you got to realize. I am royalty. You understand? That thing, that robe he put on him, it was for the party when they have the festive. Then he told him, listen, go kill the fatted calf, all right? The fatted calf. He said, bring out the fatted calf and kill it. There is no rejoicing until the calf is killed. The calf is the very best, fatted, young, and in its prime. And it was taken from among the flock. So was Jesus. He was taken among the brethren. Jesus represented that fatty calf. That's what the cross is all about. The fatty calf. Jesus Christ. You understand? Not only does God say, put a robe on my kids. Not only does he say, put rings on them so they know who they are. Not only does he say, put sandals on their feet. No. Bring out the calf. Bring out my son. Bring out my son and put him on the cross so that I can wash him. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus was telling the parable about himself. Because he knew what he came to do. He came to do, but you have to understand about sin. Sin will put you in a state of wantfulness, in a wantful state. All right? Willful sin brings woeful want. Like I said, that kid, he was willing to eat pig food. All right? First of all, he attached himself to people. All right? He had to be Gentiles. This boy's a little Jewish boy. They don't have nothing to do with the swine. But see, when you attach yourself to people that don't know God, they'll have you in places that you would never go. That's why you got to be careful who you attach yourself to as a believer. If they don't believe what you believe, you should not attach yourself. That's why Paul said, do not be unevenly yoked with non-believers. Don't marry one, don't go in business with one, don't hang out with one, and don't be trafficking with one. Amen? Why? Because you have been redeemed. But that's what sin does. But Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The choice is yours. Am I going to be willing and obedient to God, or I'm just going to live a life I want to live and call it God? All right? Because if there's lack and want in your life, you need to look at your life. You need to talk to God. Lord, am I in the right place or am I in the wrong place? Because according to your word, if you're shepherding me, if you're leading me, there ain't going to be no want in my life. All right? There might be some things that we might have to get together because we got bad spending habits and all that type of stuff. All right? Listen, Wall Street does a great job of marketing. That's why there's so many commercials and so many magazines when you go through that checkout in the grocery store. And people are great with marketing. That's why some of us have bad spending habits. All right? And I remember one time I got this written down in 2019 in my notes when Josh said, you don't need more resources, you need to be more resourceful. We're always praying to God, give me more, give me more. You can't even handle what you got. We won't give you more. Right? But see, you understand, that's because of that sin nature. That's because of the worldliness. That's because of the people we used to listen to. But now that you're in the kingdom, you need to turn all them voices off. Because the God of second chances has so much more for you. All right? Because like Elaine said, the end of the thing is better than the beginning of the thing. So you think I don't be paying attention, right? Girl? Yeah. I use anybody. I don't care who you are. I use your stuff too. Because you have to understand, God knows. All right? God knows the end, what he always had for you in the beginning, but sin interrupted and got into your life. It's okay. Christ erased it all. You got a new slate. You know when you're typing on your computer and you hit new tab and a blank page comes up? All right? That's what Jesus did. Whatever you're typing before, all that mess, blank, brand new page. All right? Now God has the pen of your life. See, you've been allowing other people to dictate and write how your life is going to be. Now it's time for you, now that you know who you are, child of the King, you need to take the pen out of their hand and you start writing how this thing's going to go. It ain't going to go like that no more. It's going to go like this, full of prosperity, full of peace, full of joy. Because that's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. Amen? That's what it's all about. Because a sinful state will always be a state of continuing dissatisfaction. That's what happened to that kid. Because he went his own way. He was in a place of continuing dissatisfaction. His money ran out. Right? He was in a place he wasn't supposed to be. Dissatisfaction. Got a job. All right? That he would never had taken if his situation didn't change. Dissatisfaction, because that's what sin does. It keeps you in a place of dissatisfaction. But God is here today speaking to somebody's life, and it's about to change, okay? Because there is an unspoken axiom, which means principle, threaded through scriptures that secret sin cannot coexist in peace, all right? That's why you feel guilty, because God put that in there. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You cannot have peace living in sin. There is no way. And it's in the book of Numbers. I always get this one mixed up, like I said. I don't know if it's 23:32 or 32:23, but it's still the same word. It's the word. It says, Moses said, beware, your sin will find you out. Jesus said, whatever is done in the dark is going to come to the light. And that's what you got. See, that's the deception of the enemy. Nobody will ever know. But you know. You calling yourself nobody? You know. Nobody will ever know. Yes, you do. You know. But it's written in there. You have to understand. It's not like God's waiting. Go ahead. Cross the line. I'm just going to hit you right upside the head. All right? It's written in there. All right? God's a God of principle. God's a God of pattern. God's a God of principle. All right, remember that. The two P's in the Bible. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. All right? God's a God of pattern, and God's a God of principle. And you could go throughout the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and see that pattern and see that principle throughout the whole thing. But thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen? Thanks be to God to Jesus that I could come home and I can get a robe, I can get a ring, and I get new shoes on to dance. All right? See, it's about rejoicing in what Christ did for us. Amen? And I want you, I hope for this year, that you become more God conscious than you do sin conscious. God already knows. He already knew you were jacked up before you even came. So you ain't messing with him. You just messing with yourself. All right? You're messing with yourself. Listen, there's a lot of you in here that have been broken, that have been hurt, and you're still carrying the weight of that stuff. You have people speaking into your life that you're never going to be nothing, you're never going to amount nothing, you're not worth anything, and all that. Today's the day to let all that go. This is a new decade. I got a doctor sitting up in front, and when patients come into her, and they're laying on that gurney, and they're moaning and groaning, see, there's a chart. And she says, what's your pain level? Is it 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 10, right? And according to what you say, then she knows what to do. But understand, God knows everything. God knows what you can take. God knows what you can't take. And there's a lot of you in here that are still carrying the pain of childhood or somewhere else. And every time, the reason why everything leaks out of side of you is because you're still broken. Every time God tries to pour something in you, it still leaks right out on the floor. Why? Because you're walking in that brokenness. And today's the day to say, listen, I'm getting up out of this hog pen. I'm not going to feel like that no more. I'm not going to let you talk to me like that no more. I know who I am. I know who I am. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time for you to get up out of that place, come back to the place of restoration, come back and get your robe, come back and get your ring, and come back and get your shoes. It's yours. God won it for you. When Jesus went to the cross, it's all yours. But you got to do like that kid did. First of all, you got to recognize it. I'm in the wrong place. I don't need to be in no hog pen. That's not who I am. And then you need to get up out of that hog pen and say, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back to my Father. And that's all it takes. I don't know who you are. But come on. Get up out your seat. If that's you, if you know God is talking to you, get up out of your seat. This ain't about these people. Close your eyes if you have to. Get up out of your seat and come and be restored. It's between you and God. It ain't even got nothing to do with Pastor Don. That's with you and God. You and God. Stand to your feet. You and God. You and God. I don't know what goes on in your life. It's not my job as a pastor to find out what's going on in your life. I know enough about sin. I know stuff goes on in people's lives. It went on in my life. Everybody close their eyes, and I want you to look at your life and look at yourself and be honest enough with yourself to say, God, I'm broke. I'm at the point where I can't get up no more, Lord. I need you. I need you, God. I need you. If that's you, put your hand up. All right? That's one step. Put your hand up. If that's you, you're in that broken place, you know you're in that hog pen, and you need to get out, then start walking.